Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios. Online at toppsbarbecue.com. And with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road, the best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Jeff Goodman broke the college basketball story of the decade.
No question.
Mike Krzyzewski retiring at the end of this season. He's a basketball analyst at Stadium. Let's make Jeff Goodman the Giant Interview.
Now, it's the Giant Interview, presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
I know it was sort of in circles probably expected given his age, but would you say this was the biggest scoop of your career?
People ask me that this week, and I'm like, not really. I mean, only because of the name, Mike Krzyzewski. It's not the story that, like, I feel the best about. There are plenty, like Greg Marshall's story a year ago, I felt way better about because, you know, I put so many hours into it. It was more reporting. You know, this one was just like, okay, you know, you get the call, and it was a crazy morning Wednesday because, as you guys know, I live in Boston, and Danny Ainge steps down, and the shocker was Brad Stevens goes from the bench to the front office, and I'm trying to just take that in, and all of a sudden I get a call saying, hey, I think Coach K, it's going to be done later this week, and that he's going to retire after this season, and John Shire is going to be the next head coach, and I'm like, oh, man, all right, so I try to, like, put the whole Brad Stevens stuff aside, and I got a bunch of people calling me here in Boston, whether it's friends, whether it's, you know, reporters, whatever it is, trying to figure out what happened with Brad. And I get another person, so I'm good. I got two. Like, I'm 100%. I know it's done. But it's freaking Coach K retiring. So I'm still like, you know what? Let me just make sure. And I get the third, and I think I wasn't as worried. Normally, you're like, you get two, even one, and you're like, I got to get it out there. Somebody else is going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
They're so tight at Duke. If you look at it, like, I've been lucky, a lot of Duke stuff, which is probably why Kay doesn't like me much over the last few years. They pretty much, you know, they break most everything Duke-related. Nobody else really gets any leaks from Duke. So I wasn't as worried about somebody breaking it. I wanted to make sure, obviously, you can't be wrong. You got to be right always before you're first. So I got the third person. So, like, I felt great about it at that point. But I'm still typing out the story and then the tweet. And, like, literally, I'll tell you, like, my hand is almost shaking.
Yeah, man. Like a Schefter with luck. I remember him talking about it. I was going to ask you that. I mean, you had to still be a little nervous, right? It's Coach K. It's the story, Franklin's the story of the decade.
And you know it. Like, I didn't know it. Like, I broke one years ago that helped me get to ESPN. I don't know if you guys remember the Pac-12 ref, Ed Rush, ran all the refs, and there was a bounty on Sean Miller. And I broke that one, and it blew up. But I didn't know at that point the significance of it, and it was earlier in social media history, too. With this one, you know when you hit that button, and it's saying Coach K retiring in a year, John Shire going to be the next head coach, like, you know the implications of that and how quick it's going to move, and you cannot. And again, I knew I was 100%, 1,000% right, but you still, yes, my hand was literally like, oh, man, do I hit the button? Like, I think I put my finger on the button like five times. Like, do I hit it? Do I not? Do I hit it? And when I hit it, I was just like, oh, boy, here we go.
Okay, so in terms of the timing from
huge scoop,
and you know why Coach K decided now was the right time. You tweeted that yes, the changing landscape of college basketball with the overtime league and LeVar Ball's league and the league that you're starting up there in Boston.
Yeah,
you know these.
Yeah,
are,
I got a big one.
These are all, as well as the you know the NIL. These are all contributing factors. He pushed back on that publicly, which I understand why he would do that publicly. But is that still what you are hearing sort of behind the scenes, that Mike Krzyzewski just he wasn't really trying to be around for everything that's changing so rapidly in college basketball?
I mean, number one, he's turning 75. So, like, you know, obviously that's the primary. But the secondaries that went into him doing it probably a year earlier, you know, sped it up a little bit, were the fact that, again, you know, all these different leagues, the transfer portal, name, image, likeness coming in, and not necessarily being anti-name, image, likeness, just having to deal with everything that's going to come along with name, image, likeness, right? Like, they got a great player coming in this year, Paolo Banchero, and he's going to have so many, like, endorsement offers and whatnot, and they could have somebody on staff that's dealing with a lot of that. But you're telling me Coach K isn't going to have conversations with this kid about maybe how much time he's investing in it, how he's handling it, and making sure that he's focused on what matters most, which is playing on the court. So, yeah, I think all of it, but the most, obviously, the most significant was, you know, he's turning 75. Like, come on. Like, don't you want to have some years where you don't have to worry about practice? You don't have to worry about, how about flying across the country? I mean, this is it. He doesn't have to recruit anymore. He's done. So, like, in 2 weeks, they're going to be in June. They're having high school events open. Coaches can finally go out again in a couple of weeks and see players. Do you really think Coach K wanted to fly all the way out to like LA to sit in front of a 16-year-old and wave to him and say, "Hey, I'm here. Look at me. I'm here. I want you." Come on. Like, he wants to be done with that crap.
Can Duke still be Duke without K? This elite?
I don't know. No, not this elite. No, they're not winning five national titles. And that was a long time. Under John Shire. If John Shire goes to one Final Four in his first 4 years, he's done a good job.
Yeah.
That means he's kept him nationally relevant. That's what you want to do. If you're John Shire, you want to be in the mix. You want to be in the NCAA tournament every year. If you can do that at Duke, be in there every year, your first like 4 years. Find a way. He's obviously inheriting a program, not like Kay did. When Kay says, well, he can't do what I did my first 3 years. Yeah, but you inherited a program that was downtrodden at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Shire is going to inherit a really good program with good players and to be able to pick up kind of where K left off to some extent in terms of talent. You know, the big question is, can he get them to where they're competing for national titles? I have no question that John Shire will keep them relevant within the top part of the ACC. But that's like, there's a big difference between top 25-ish every year,
yep,
and obviously what like Villanova's done over the last 4 or 5 years.
So how will the inevitable sort of Mike Krzyzewski's last season documentary handle it?
Oof.
When Josh Pastner beats him at Cameron Indoor?
Oh, no.
I mean, that's going to be
that's
going to be a tough topic.
They'll edit that out.
I mean, will Pastner have the face shield still this year or no?
I hope not.
It was lucky for him. My guess is he's going to have it on.
I mean, hopefully he's a science guy and he's up to date on
he's
the
superstitious
guidelines.
I'm not sure he's a science guy. I'm not sure, to be honest. Remember, this is a guy that didn't even have contact in practice all last summer, and it bit him in the ass when he lost to a couple of low majors right out of the gates. But he rebounded. He rebounded.
That's the ACC champion you're talking about. How dare you?
I know.
And you're focusing on beginning of the season? I mean, goodness gracious. On Shire, though, because there are, you know, a ton of guys to pick from, right? There was a time where you probably would have thought it was going to be Chris Collins. You know, like, I mean,
I did.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, and so there's a ton of...
We've gone through them all, John.
Yeah.
We've gone through them all. We've had a point where all of them, we've said, all right, it's going to be him today. It's going to be him today.
So why John Shire? Like, I'm asking from a place of ignorance, because I remember him as a player. He was a pretty good player. Why was he the choice?
Process of elimination, you know, like, hey, you can't hire Wojo. He's unemployed. He just got fired at Marquette. That was, I thought, always, if Wojo was doing well, that was always the golden boy for K. So But you can't hire a guy who's unemployed. Chris Collins might be fired in a year. Jeff Capel's struggling mightily at Pitt. So, like, take those three right out of the equation, right? They're gone. They're gone. Uncle Johnny Dawkins down at Central Florida, like, he's just been okay, right? He was okay at Stanford. He's just been okay at Central Florida. The other guy that was in the equation was Tommy Emmerker. Here's what I'll tell you, though. So funny. Over the years, you know, I've talked to all these guys over the years about it, right? And what they all told me is they're like, or not all of them, but most of them said, like, I just hope he doesn't call me and ask me to take it. Like, they're all praying that the call, they don't see Coach K's number come up.
Right.
And him say to them, like, hey, I really need you to take this job. You know, I really. So, like, they're all praying that that doesn't happen. Where Shire, listen, he didn't get the DePaul job 2 months ago. Couldn't get the DePaul job, and he's from Chicago, suburbs of Chicago. So, couldn't get that one. He's 33, and honestly, like, it's a great opportunity for him. You know, like, is he going to keep it at that level? No, he knows that. He's a smart kid. He knows he's not going to keep it at that level. But if he can keep Duke relevant and keep them where, again, they're in the top 10-ish every year, right? Preseason top 10 every year. Listen, what K's done over the last however many years, you know, hasn't blown people away in terms of, like, again, they last, whatever they want, one title since 2010, right? One title since 2010. It's not, again, it's not like you look at it and you're like, let's not make it unrealistic here for John Shire to succeed, I guess is my biggest thing. Like, let's make it realistic. You know, I'm looking at it here the last, like, 10 years since they won the national title. Sweet 16, bounced in the first round. Elite Eight, bounced in the first round. Champion in 15. Sweet 16, 32, Elite Eight, didn't make the tournament this year. That's Coach K. He lost twice in the first round, didn't make the tournament 1 year in the last 10 years. So, like, if John Shire can, you give him a 10-year window and you say, hey, John, you go to two Final Fours. Maybe you don't even win a national title, but you go to two Final Fours, and you know what? You go to, out of those 10, you make the tournament 9 out of those 10 times. Is that good enough for you?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But I mean, look, Nike is going to make sure of that, though. I mean, John Shire,
right.
Jeff Goodman,
yeah.
John Martin. Nike is going to make sure those dudes are in the tournament. You know what I'm saying?
Good point. Well, they're gonna make sure they help them get some players.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, John Shire's just a, you know, I mean, look, maybe one day he'll be one of the best, but right now he's a face. You know, he's a face.
Yes. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Would you go as far, Jeff? And I read your column. You talked about how basketball's at a coaching crossroads. Would you go as far as to say that it might be in trouble with everything that's coming? G League, you know, overtime, elite. They're picking off players. All the old guard, the old coaches. You point out Boeheim's going to be 77 in November. Huggins, Izzo, Cal, all over 60. Like, you know, young blood's always going to come up. Juwan Howard did a great job. He's doing a great job at Michigan, but. But
yeah.
But is college basketball in a way, whether it's popularity, whatever else, it's always going to make its money. But is it in trouble, especially not having that czar guy that you've been talking about for a while? When's that guy going to?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think it could go there. I think it's not there yet, but it could go there because, again, we don't trust the NCAA.
Right.
We know that.
Right.
Like, they've screwed this thing up mightily with name, image, likeness. And I just think now you're at a point where, like, all right, the G League's only going to steal, it sounds like, maybe a half dozen players a year. Mm-hmm. Okay? So that's fine. I mean, you know, we've been used to that anyway, like 10 players a year left and went straight from high school to the NBA years
sure.
ago before they changed that rule. So that's fine. This overtime elite thing has me wondering, though, guys. They got a lot of big money behind it, a lot of big players, like Jay Williams involved, Kevin Durant's involved. They've already got four pretty good high school players. If you're in high school going into your junior year and somebody says, hey, we're going to pay you $500,000 a year. So we're going to pay $1 million in high school.
Right.
In high school. How many guys are turning that down? And it's not like they've said, hey, we're only going to take five guys. Like, they could take 25 guys. They could take as many as they want and try to, like, and the thing is, if Kevin Durant is involved and Kevin Durant wants to call a kid and say, hey, I got this league here.
Yeah.
I really want you to be in it. These kids just all look up to all these NBA guys. Like, how do you say no if your kid and you're offered $1 million for 2 years, and they don't understand maybe the repercussions of their decision because they're not thinking 2 years ahead. They're not thinking of college at that point. They're thinking, like, I don't want to go to school. Mm-hmm. Like, if I can do this overtime thing for 2 years, then I'll go G League Elite, and I'm going to make a couple million before I ever get to the NBA? Like, it's hard. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just feel like that worries me more than the G League Elite.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think, there are schools out there that could compete with those terms and will, as you know.
True.
So,
true.
I mean.
No doubt. Which one? Which one are you talking about specifically, John?
Well, I mean, we know programs out there make strong-ass offers all the time. You know, and still get to do what they do. So, I mean, clearly we are at a place now where we don't give a damn. So A, schools will and do often compete with those terms. And B, I still don't – and don't you think this, too? You're talking about a very specific kind of kid, too. Like, I mean, there are still going to be kids who want to play in the tournament, who you know, want the prestige of playing for – I'm not saying that this is necessarily applying to Memphis, but, you know, the Duke, the Carolina, the Kentucky. Like, college basketball will be fine. They were fine during the one-and-done era, you know? I mean, or before the one-and-done era.
It'll be fine. It'll just be a significant talent drain.
No,
if you've got
no Zions, exactly. Those days are over. Will be over.
Right, like –
the
like,
elite guys.
You know, I think you'll get, you know, Chet Holmgren's going to college, right? He could have made $500,000 to go to the G League Ignite. But if it starts earlier, here's what I'll say is, like, a lot of kids, high school, you're like, last couple of years, you change so much, right? Like, my daughter, for instance, didn't like sports 2 years ago. Now she, like, will sit down and watch sports all night, like, literally, hockey, basketball, whatever it is. So, like, kids change so much, and I'm not sure how prepared they are to make a decision like that, not knowing the consequences of their decision. I'm not saying they shouldn't, like, they should go to college 100%. Listen, if you had given me that option, I would have been like, yeah, like, I think I told you guys, like, I went to Arizona. I probably went to 50% of my classes at Arizona. I didn't like school. I don't know how many kids love school.
No.
School's right? Terrible, yeah.
You know? Right. So, like, if you give them that option, they're saying to themselves, the hell, like, why would I want to go to college if I can make a couple million? But they may not understand, okay, you know what? College is a great time of your life.
It is.
And your branding, the branding part of it, can make you more than $2 million outside of Williamson. Now, he's the outlier. He's the outlier.
Right. Yep.
He is.
But even Cade Cunningham. You're telling me Cade Cunningham, the branding from going to Oklahoma State and playing in college, you're telling me he's not worth $2 million more than Jalen Green today? Of course he is.
Yep. Yep, he is. He is because he's on TV. That's the other thing you got to consider. You're on TV, and when fans are coming back, you're going to be playing in front of fans. I mean, these are.
Yep.
I mean, fans are not going to go to these G League games. I mean, at the end of the day, it's still the freaking G League. I don't care who it is. I don't care
right.
who it is. It's the G League, bro. I'm not going to a G League game. Maybe if you put it at the Mid South Coliseum, I'll do that.
Are you going to go to the? You're going to go to this Floyd Mayweather Logan Paul fight?
I mean, that's now. See, that's
would you rather see that? You'd rather see that
a million percent, not even close.
Who are you rooting for in this one? Who are you rooting for?
Logan, man. I want to see him do it.
You look like Logan.
Oh,
I mean, honestly,
thank you.
You look like Logan's little brother,
Jake Paul. Yeah, thank you. He's very successful.
Who's got Woodley next? Yeah, that. Yeah,
I don't know the difference between the two. Jake Paul's the
I don't either.
Jake Paul's the real one. He's the one that's actually trying to, like, come off as a real
fighter.
Logan's doing this for the fun of it.
Jake Paul's going to get his you-know-what whoop by Woodley, isn't he?
Well, you know, that you would have thought that against the other UFC fighter that he went up against a month or two ago. Speaking of getting your ass whooped, we had the University of Memphis president on the show earlier this week. And Jason asked the question, you know this, they're in the midst of an IARP investigation.
Yeah.
Jason
yeah.
asked him, do you fear that what's coming from the IRP will cripple the University of Memphis basketball program? And he didn't give us much because he said he can't talk about it, but he did say no. He did answer no to that question that he did not fear that the impending decision would cripple the program. Do you share that sentiment with the University of Memphis president?
All right, can you tell me the Memphis president's background? What is here? Or she's background. Do they have a background in this? Have they been doing this a long time? Do they have familiarity with the
psychologist?
He's a psychologist.
No, He has no idea of the clown show process that takes place with the NCAA is what I'm asking. Yeah. No idea,
no,
correct?
No, no.
All right, so that makes sense. Because if he did, he would have never said that. He would have never had that type of strength in how he approaches anything with the NCAA. The right answer to that is, who the hell knows?
Mm-hmm.
Right answer, we have no idea. I mean, let's face it. Like, the NCAA is going to want to come down on some dudes in this.
Yep.
From a PR standpoint.
Yep.
I don't think the independent process is any different from the previous one, other than the fact that you cannot appeal.
Right.
I think it's the same people making the same decisions. The only difference is the NCAA said, you know what? What if they call it something different? Because we want people to think that it's independent. So we're going to call it the independent, whatever it is, process, IRAPP or whatever the hell it's called. But it's the same BS. It's the same people making the same decisions, doing it the same way, trained by the NCAA, judging it by the same set of NCAA bylaws. So why do we think it's going to be any different? It's not. It's not. It's not. So to me, again, I have no idea how it's going to play out with Memphis, but I wouldn't have any sort of certainty or anything close to that, that you have any confidence that the NCAA isn't going to hammer Memphis. Like, you have no idea.
Settle the debate for us, Jeff. It got hot and heavy yesterday. Corey Kispert, he going to be an NBA starter at the three or role player? What you think? John wants the Grizzlies to trade up and go get him.
I think with the right players around him, he'd be a good starter, like Joe Harris. But he's not Joe Harris yet.
It's fine. We heard you know, Joe like Harris. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's the natural comparison. They're both from the same area. Mm-hmm. And Mark View actually told me a story. He passed on Joe Harris. Like, Joe Harris's dad, they used to come to Gonzaga camp all the time. And they passed on Joe Harris, and with Corey Kispert, they were like, we aren't making that mistake again.
And they're both white, Jeff, let's be honest. They're both white.
John loves that he's white.
They are?
Yes, they're both white. I know you don't see color, but they're both white, so it's a natural. you don't make cross-racial comparisons in basketball, okay? If it's a white player, he's going to be compared to a white player.
That's not true.
Oh, okay, go ahead. Give me one black player that you compared to a white player or vice versa.
Kevin Durant and George Niang.
You compared Kevin Durant to George Niang?
Only you would believe this. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
only you would actually take that seriously.
I mean,
Jason's sitting over there being like this is why I really, the next interview we do, Jason, it's just you and I. Like, forget this. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I'm with you. He's what wasting your time.
I'd want to sweep that one under the rug too, Goodman.
Brad Stevens, Celtics in good hands? Hey, he failed up, right? He failed up. You mentioned it earlier.
It's a promotion.
Yeah.
It's a promotion. That's what they tried to sell it as here, a promotion. I'm like, no, come on. Like, we're not that naive, are we, here in Boston? But some of us are, I guess. It is not a promotion. It is a demotion. But not to say that I don't think Brad could you know, succeed in this. He's super smart. He knows the team very well. But ultimately, listen, I think everybody understood that they needed to make a major change. They didn't want to trade. They're not trading Tatum. They don't want to trade Jaylen Brown. Mm-hmm. So they can't really make a major change without trading one of those two or making a change with a coach. And I think everybody understood, all right, this was a good move to make. And the other part of it was the ownership. Wick Grasbeck doesn't have to pay out. If they fire Brad, they would have had to pay him like $30 million. Now, just take that salary, move it over. Mm-hmm. Danny was probably making a similar salary. And now you've got to hire a head coach. Here's what I worry about, and I don't know if you guys think this way too, if you agree or disagree with me. With Brad Stevens, I think he's too nice and not capable of BSing people, and I think that can really hurt you as a GM because, like, I could see Brad being on the phone with, like, Daryl Morey, right,
mm-hmm.
and being ready to fleece Daryl Morey and getting ready to hang up the phone and being like, Daryl, you know what, man, like, I feel bad. Let me throw in another first-round pick or something. Like, I don't want to hose you on this trade. Like, I want to make sure it's fair, it's equitable. So I'm gonna toss in another first round.
That ain't gonna work.
I mean,
that's a great point.
It does require
if that's
some,
what happens.
You know, BS.
Cutthroat.
To your point, yeah. I mean, yeah. I, that job does.
You got to be a dickhead like John Martin.
Exactly. That's how I've gotten to where I've gotten in this world, by being a in your words.
In my humble opinion.
Yes.
That's right.
Jeff, man, look.
That scoop was awesome, too, man.
This was almost worth the wait, man. Thanks for the time,
you're
as
the best,
always.
Brother.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.